The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Or the WhatsApp's open as well on 166 177. From the 1st of September, gas bills will increase by 43.9%. Doesn't sound much if you say it quickly, does it? But it's going to hit so many people. All gas customers on the Isle of Man should receive government support in light of rising energy bills. That's the view of Manx Gas, which yesterday revealed that another rise in prices. So from September the 1st, not that far away, gas bills up by 43.1%. I just wonder what your thought, as a gas user yourself, perhaps, or as a non-gas user. Maybe you have oil heating, maybe you use electricity or a log burner, whatever it is. What do you think about this? Government support for gas users. Where does that leave other users? Anyway, thoughts on that? By all means, get in touch. Text, email. Yesterday, a big, big reaction yesterday on the text. We were talking certainly yesterday about planning. We were talking about brownfield sites and whether or not we should maintain a Manx identity. Neil called up and hit a real chord yesterday, did he? Well, he was talking about the fact that we're building on prime agricultural land. He said, we can't grow crops high up on the hills. They just won't grow. You won't get any sort of yield. So what do we do? We shouldn't be demolishing our old buildings. They're our heritage. This is all to do with really a comparison, really, of the fact that there was yet another scheme to resurrect the Middlemarch sites, the Walpole Avenue, Fort Street, Peel Road, Victoria Street site, that one hemmed in by the, well, we call it the new police station now, which is years old now. So something's going to happen there, and the fact that the Palace Group want to move their casino there, what's going to happen to the hotel? Well, years away, said the managing director, Brett Martin, yesterday. But obviously Newsons is being propped up by girders at the moment. There are lots and lots of heritage sites, lots and lots of heritage buildings that look a complete mess. I mean, the Castle Mona is one case in point. It's been like that for an awful long time. We also talked about Cambar, which apparently were known as Mantis before they were called Cambar. They built bungalows all over the Isle of Man from the late 60s, also built on the Scottish Islands. Thanks for Robbie, who gave us lots of information about that. A text in also yesterday, should a restriction similar to Jersey, to which an individual is required to be a resident of the island for a certain number of years before they're allowed before they're eligible to purchase a home here. So should we do that? At the backdrop of all this is the fact that the government basically wants another 15,000 people on the Isle of Man, wants to get the population up to 100,000. So we have several circles that we're trying to square, one of which is that we have an employment problem. There are over 1,000 vacancies and only a few hundred people who are unemployed. There are lots and lots of jobs which simply aren't being filled at the moment. So in the middle of all this, if you think you can negotiate it, if you can think it's tell us the way out, if we find a way out, a shaft of light illuminates our path forward, by all means, get in touch. I think we're on oil, says Bob W. We've seen our costs triple in the past year. I don't hear anybody suggesting that oil users should get support, Bob W. I wonder why that is. A note in from Dave who said, Andy, I think our politicians are living in cloud cuckoo land. I earn $34,000 a year. After direct taxation, I take home $25,000. Mortgage, $10,000. Rates, $1,000. Energy, $3,500. Soon to go to $5,000. Food and essentials, $7,500. General maintenance, $2,000. So after $25,000, mortgage, $10,000. Rates, $1,000. Energy, $3,500. Soon to go to $5,000. Food and essentials, $7,500. General maintenance, $2,000. Nothing left for luxuries, things like a new car or holidays. Trying to get people to the Isle of Man to come and live here? Not on a nurse, not on a teacher's salary. You need an MHK wage to live on the Isle of Man. Well, an MHK wage is nothing like some people get paid on Athol Street, but that's a point taken. Thank you for that. A note in that just says, how about support for those that work and pay into the system? Assistance seems to be provided only for those on benefits. There are lots of people working here who are close to the edge. So I think that if allowances are being given, they should be in vouchers to spend with the utility companies to ensure the money is spent on what it is intended to be spent for. So let's go back to Manx Gas. Let's see exactly what is happening. What will be the situation from the 1st of September.
In less than a month, the price that natural gas customers pay for their energy will increase by 6.8 pence per unit. In simple terms, that means you'll need to find £677 more to pay your bills over the next year. The hike has been blamed on continued disruption in the global energy market. Joe Cox is the chief executive of Islands Energy Group, that's the parent company of Manx Gas. She says it's unavoidable, but is calling on government to do more.
People will struggle with this increase. It is a big increase. What I suggest they do is pick up the phone and speak to us, because it's really important we set the right payment plan for them. What we don't want to do is turn people off. There's two things that need to happen. First of all, they need to speak to us and agree what that is an affordable payment plan for them so that we can work with them. And then the second thing that needs to happen is we're continuing to speak to the Cabinet Office to see what support that they will give domestic customers through this difficult time. In the UK, you've seen the government step in and apply a £400 rebate to all customers. So not just those that are in financial difficulties, but every single customer is allowed the £400 rebate. And we need to see the Isle of Man government doing something of a similar nature, because this is outside of all of our control.
Are you saying there that you would welcome support for every gas customer, effectively, not sort of means tested support on terms of income, because people are all in the same boat. If everybody has got a gas bill to pay, everybody is going to feel this hit.
I completely agree. I think we've seen that happening across Germany and the UK, where there isn't any means testing. It's a straight rebate application to all people using energy. And I think we need to see the same thing happening across the Isle of Man. I don't think it's fair to differentiate based on earnings at this time, because everybody's taking a massive hit.
There's Joe Cox from Manx Gas. So what is the Manx government planning to do? Well, Treasury says it's working on new targeted support, but whatever it comes up with, it isn't due to go before Tynwald until October. That's over a month after this new price increase. We heard from Joe Cox, chief exec of the Islands Energy Group, which is the parent company of Manx Gas, saying all members of society should be helped. Well, the deputy chief minister's got a view. Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, believes it is the most vulnerable who especially need support.
There has to be a recognition that government cannot insulate everybody from the cost of living pressures that we are facing, and it's absolutely important that we do not see our most vulnerable members of society having to choose between heating and eating, and to try and make sure that we offer support where it is absolutely most needed for those individuals and the wider economy, to try and cushion our society and our economy as best as we can through these really, really difficult times. And I think that when we look at the support that's been offered so far, yes, the winter bonus and so on is paid to those who are in receipt of income-related benefits. We also had the variable winter bonus, which recognised that there are people who are on very low incomes who fall outside at the moment the existing criteria for income-related benefits. And so that variable winter bonus was designed to capture those people. We also have the family benefit, which was designed for those who are in receipt of child benefit, because we recognise the increased pressure on people with children. And there's also the long-term benefit that's gone out, which recognises that there are people on fixed incomes, if you like, on a range of other benefits, including the state pension. So we have tried to offer a range of benefits and support that recognise the variety of situations that people are in. And absolutely the intention is to continue to try and look as far as we can at who might be most in need of support and how we can best target that support.
Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, and just wonder what your thoughts are on this matter. Do you think that block support, as in support right across the spectrum, should be given to everybody who uses gas, or does it need to be targeted? There'll be many people on the Isle of Man to whom a rise in a gas bill is neither here nor there. It won't really bother them because they can afford it. So what do you think? And also, if you use oil or electricity, do you think the same sort of cushion, the same sort of insulation, financial insulation, should be given to people who use oil or electricity? And if you're a gas user, can you afford this price increase? Will you have to choose between heating and eating? Do you think the government should be supporting everyone rather than the most vulnerable? I'd had a few messages in last week regarding, and we've talked about the Irish Sea wind farm project and what's going to happen there. It was Richie who just said, can you bring us up to speed on where that is? The latest report we had, Simon Richardson got to the bottom of what's happening out in the Irish Sea. Work is continuing on plans for two giant wind farms in the Irish Sea. BP and the German company EnBW have already secured leases for a combined 3 gigawatts project between the northwest of England and the island.
The wind farms would provide enough energy to power 3.4 million homes, though their proposed location between the Isle of Man and Liverpool is of concern to the Steam Packet Company and other Irish Sea operators. Steam Packet Managing Director Brian Thompson has already warned that if the Mona and Morgan wind farms proceed in the areas as proposed, there would be consequences.
Oh yeah, it will affect us massively. We'll have to reroute our vessels to go around them or go through them. And it has potential for our supply lines, either adding extra time to the journey. It wouldn't stop the journey, but we'll have to go a longer route. And that's really no helpful for anyone.
It's understood that a Habitats Regulations assessment of the area is nearing completion, after which BP and EnBW will sign an agreement for lease and then coordinate with local stakeholders, conduct further environmental and habitat assessments, and apply for approval of the specific projects. Only at that point can the partners apply for a UK government-backed feed-in tariff and sign the final lease. Meanwhile, EnBW and BP have launched a first round of consultation on the Mona wind farm, which runs until the 3rd of August. It's proposed to make the first UK grid connections in 2027, with an expected start of commercial operations in 2028.
That's that situation. It's hardly tomorrow, is it? It's 5 years and more away, which shows you that these things don't just happen overnight. In the background of all this, we have the Kroger gas field, and also what's happening with our green energy, and when's the first wind turbine going to be nailed into the seabed or on the Isle of Man? And also a note in from a texter 372 who just said, what about green energy? Well, nothing's really happening, is it? Lots of plans, lots of talk, but no actual plans, no dates, no timetable. Regarding gas prices, says the only way to support everyone equally is for government to give the money to the gas company to cap prices, as they're now for everyone, not just individual customers. So Max Gas is limited in how much profit it can make. That's part of its user agreement with the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, CURA. So there's no suggestion here that Manx Gas is profiteering. They're just passing on the price that they're having to pay. Some months ago, says this, it was Gary who dropped a note into me to say, some months ago I texted a man in line with a query about a gas supply in light of the EU discussing rationing. Now, today, the EU has agreed a 15% reduction to the gas supply because of the whole Nord Stream 2 Ukraine-Russia situation. So given that our gas supply comes via ERA, via Bord Gas, and obviously ERA, the Republic, is an EU member, will our gas supply be reduced? And will that cause an increase in price again? Or perhaps our supply is contractually agreed. But if we're getting our gas down ostensibly an EU pipeline, it's an Irish Republic pipeline, will we have a 15% reduction? If we use green energy, says Texter 372, that'll stop oil drilling. There's a lot of words, none of which make any sense, 372. If we use green energy, that will stop oil drilling. I think we should get solar power, hydropower, that will solve everything. But not today, and not tomorrow, and not for years. So what do we do in the meantime when bills go up? Somebody has to make a decision about what's going to happen on the island. We've not heard much yet, have we? I'm 26, says this correspondent, and currently live with my parents. I'm working three jobs to try and save for a property. I'm frugal. I don't spend much. I'm very frugal with my spending. I barely go out or spend on non-necessities. It's a tough balance, but I'm managing to save. I feel I'm missing out on enjoying my 20s, but I'm saving for a property. This is a subject that came up last week, wasn't it? Big it started this week, just regarding how much you have to struggle. And everybody has an apocryphal story about when they struggled, when they bought their first property and how much they had to save and how they had to scrimp and save. And the implication is, well, I had to struggle. Why shouldn't you struggle? But obviously, if we put that barrier too high for young people to get on the property ladder, what will happen in the future? So text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. I also want to talk today about cyberbullying. Police in the west of the Isle of Man, a warning that online bullying is causing a lot of damage with young people. Three incidents of abuse have been reported in the past 2 weeks. One of particular concern seems to be the way that children are using group chats. Now, PC Loader is one of the community officers based in Peel. Darren Loader has been speaking to Manx Radio about online bullying.
The danger is it's easy to say things online when you're not face-to-face with someone. For the children, it's so easy just to be on your phone or a laptop and say these things in a group chat to someone. They don't see the damage and the hurt it causes to these individuals. They may not go with intent to really cause harm, but I've seen results of what can happen to some of these children. I've seen how it can affect them. They don't want to go to school. They feel excluded, and it can cause issues maybe with families. They just don't want to go out. They don't want to meet anyone. Yeah, it just causes a lot of problems. You've got children as young as 8 with these mobile phones, they're not like our old Nokias that we used to have. These are like state-of-the-art phones. It's got everything on these phones for these kids. And you've got the different social media applications as well that these children are using. And because there's so much on these, they're spending hours and hours a day on these phones. And as young as 8, they're on there late at night, 11, 12, early hours in the morning. And now the summer holidays, there's no need to be going to bed early for school the next day. They're up all night on their phones. I have no issues with kids being on their phones, but it does bring that nasty behaviour, the exclusions, the bullyings as well. And I say with the holidays now, kids are on it so much more. I just want families or parents just to have those chats with the children and make sure they are okay. I'm trying to say take the phones away. It's just have that chat with them, sit down with them and just see what they're doing, show an interest, what group chats are on, who they're talking to, and are they a victim of any bullying?
Are you checking your children's online presence, by the way? Do you ever get to look at their group chats? Do they just say, push off. It's my group chat. Well, there's a lot of school holiday left, and this sort of cyberbullying can do a lot of damage to young people. It's the downside of social media and something we're going to have to come to terms with. John dropped a note in. Thank you, John, on 404. So Jane Paul Wilson should remember how much extra tax government's taking from all the price rises. Other governments acknowledge this. This is why they're going to help all gas customers. Out of hand governments should more than likely just do what they are shamed into doing, says John. Point of view. And thank you to my texter. Let's have a look. Oh, it's Bonzo. Thank you, Bonzo. Sent me a link in. Apparently, Ireland are exempted from the EU plans for mandatory gas cuts. There are voluntary reductions of gas use in Ireland will be pursued through the existing efficiency plans. Ireland has secured an exemption from the EU plans to trigger mandatory reductions in the use of gas in the case of shortages as part of a deal. Energy ministers for the 27 struck an agreement on how to jointly cope with potential shortages as Russia tightens gas supply to Germany and a series of eastern and central EU states. So presumably, if Ireland is exempted from the EU plans for mandatory gas cuts, as obviously we use a fraction of what Ireland uses, then we'll be okay.
Do you know your gardening shows? Then you could win a bumper prize from Ramsey Garden Centre. It's another winning weekend on Manx Radio. So check out the clues on our Facebook page and listen on Saturday and Sunday. When you hear the garden show theme tune played, you've got 5 minutes to text the show name and your name to 166177 for your chance to win a beach barbecue and tools, solar-powered stake lights and string lights, plus a Ramsey Garden Centre loyalty card preloaded with 50 points. And it's selected double points all this week. Bag yourself a blooming marvellous prize this weekend with Ramsey Garden Centre and your nation station, Manx Radio.
We all have a Ginger Hall memory. Whether it's watching the TT on Dad's knee or singing Happy Birthday in the garden or watching Grandad do the robot at your cousin's wedding. Have your event at the Ginge. We're an approved partner of Conister Bank and finance options are available, including a 3-month payment holiday up front. With great food and drink in a spectacular setting, you won't be disappointed. Make a Ginger Hall memory. Visit the Ginger Hall events on Facebook. Rates and repayment terms subject to terms and conditions.
Is it time for your next step on the career ladder? A visit to orchardrecruitment.com could be the ideal start. Our fully responsive website enables you to quickly apply for jobs, upload and store your CV, manage job alerts, and chat live with our expert recruiters. Right now, we're looking for people in the technology and professional services sectors. Are you a project manager, business or test analyst, or a tech support expert? Then visit orchardrecruitment.com today. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
Mom, Dad, there's no hot water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. HomeWarm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613210 or find us on Facebook. HomeWarm by EMS. Become our priority.
On Perspective this week, we're considering your human rights. Should we be concerned about UK politics potentially talking us out of being part of the European Convention on Human Rights? Manx QC Stuart Gale certainly thinks so, but Deputy Chief Minister Jane Poole Wilson, MHK, does not believe this will be a problem. The Minister also talks about her move from MLC to MHK and Minister, considers the ailments of government and how to fix them, as well as explaining the priorities of her Department of Home Affairs. Perspective gives you some entertaining but fairly deep political discussion this Sunday at 12 noon with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
29 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock on Manx Radio. This isn't cyberbullying, says Jeff, but it's bullying. After being in Peel for lunch on Monday, I went for a walk up through the main street, then walking out past the public shelter by the old Peel Castle pub. Two youths had tried knocking a box of goods out of a very old gentleman's hands, so I confronted them. And I got a load of foul-mouthed abuse. They were very intimidating, But of course, you couldn't touch them because of what may happen. So a good kick up the backside would get you in bother with the law, says Jeff. Tiny piece of crime, isn't it? But an important piece and something that, and again, this is what was mentioned yesterday about the fact that little pieces of the Isle of Man seem to be falling off when we, such a low level of crime on the Isle of Man that any crime will stick out and, you know, should be dealt with. I got a note in from, it was Sally, actually. Thank you, Sally, in Bride, who just said, am I the only person who's noticed that our police officers are now dressed like paramilitaries? The only time you ever see police officers dressed like police officers are on decorative days, like Tynwald Day. When did all that happen? When did that come to the Isle of Man that our police officers dress up like paramilitaries with big boots and paramilitary trousers? Am I the only person who's noticed, says Sally in Bride. If the gas prices are anything to go by, says this correspondent, then it's time to throw out the gas boilers and move on to electric boilers from renewable sources, of course. Well, times can change, you never know. they may find that the price of gas goes down. You never know, we may tap into our own source of gas, and it may fall through the floor. Something else that'll have to be sorted out. In conjunction with that plan for the Middlemarch site being developed by Anonymous Money. Well, there's a name to the company, Andy. When is the apartment block coming forward for the old palace site? And the profit from apartment sales, will that fund the Middlemarch site? Well, Brett Martin, the managing director, said that apparently it's years away redeveloping the site because there's an awful lot on that Palace Hotel site, the old Hilton, Stakis, whatever you want to call it. Somebody else said yesterday, you forgot it was called Renaissance. The health club was called Renaissance. Do you remember that? Before it was Living Well? A lot happens in that hotel, and you know, it was built in the mid-1960s, so it isn't the last word in modernity. But I think the first thing that will come out, should the Middlemarch site happen, is the casino will come out, and then they'll have to decide what to do with the rest of that site. There is a cinema, of course. The old engine house from the ballroom is still there. So what will happen was, I don't know if you remember, but years ago, I think it was in the Graham Ferguson Lacey days, there was a big plan to put apartments on that site to excavate back from ground level and go to the back of the car park and put lots and lots of apartments on that site. That may be the situation. I mean, heck, they own the land. They can do what they want with it within planning restrictions. Neil's with us. Hi, Neil.
Good afternoon, Andy. I just wanted to call back about the comment you made about young people and property prices. I actually work in aerospace, low loss today, obviously, and we've had such a difficult situation with young people with anxiety, depression. We've even had one suicide in a young man under the age of 35 within the last 3 years. And we've actually had to set up a well-being clinic within our company to try and deal with the anxiety and the stress. And one of my colleagues is one of the team leaders on this well-being clinic. He's obviously done the mental health assessment course, etc. And I was asking him only a few months ago, and one would anticipate that it would be people going through divorces or personal loss or, you know, a death in the family or something like that. But Ian said to me, it isn't that at all. And he said, the problem is with our young people and the enormous stress and anxiety they are feeling because they feel they have no future. They're working their socks off. They can't get a deposit together. Some of them are still at home in their mid-30s, as that young lad said before. And many of them are living in flats, paying extortionate prices. And others have moved into buy-to-let properties, which are let out by wealthy individuals who've moved here and are paying in excess of £1,000 a month. I mean, they simply have no hope for the future.
Neil, I have to say, I mean, that's extremely grim news, shocking, horrific news about a suicide.
Yes, absolutely. We had a company meeting, and we've had to set up a well-being clinic, and the majority of anxiety and stress in our young people is purely to do with the costs of trying to buy a house, trying to find their independence. I was lucky. I was able to buy an old house at a relatively young age at a reasonable price, and my father had been in the building trade, and he was a wonderful help to assist me in putting it back into shape. But these young lads just can't get started. And I'll tell you another thing which was really irritating me. We are ending up with a two-class system. We are having people coming in as key workers or so-called key workers, although I honestly think they could train some of our young people up for some of the key worker positions. And as Dr. Allison admitted last week on the radio, they're getting resettlement allowances of about £8,000 on average, plus a two-year holiday for national insurance. Well, our young people aren't getting any of those financial advantages. They're absolutely under the hammer here, and I really think we're on the edge of a cliff regarding our young people and their future and their stress levels, their anxiety, and just where this island is going to
well,
be.
Well, you should never be equating despair with young people. Surely they shouldn't be desperate. They shouldn't be despairing. So surely a way out of this has to be found. I mean, there should be a Manx solution to this.
Well, I've suggested something before, actually, when Stu was on the Man in Line several years ago, and I've said that people who come to the Isle of Man, or those who are here, and they have a collection of houses which they're renting out, I think it should be an 80% tax take. That would kill it in one go, because all these developers, Hartford, Dandor, and all the rest of them, they are simply building houses for the buy-to-let market because it's lucrative, and people are moving into the Isle of Man, mainly elderly people are moving in here. They are investing in property, and it is absolutely crucifying the opportunities for our young people to get anywhere in life. And I think we're on the edge of a cliff with this, and it really does need addressing.
Interesting point in that new KPMG report that's coming out, and says that the economically active proportion of the Isle of Man is around 50%. That's 50% of people that aren't economically active.
Yes, indeed. I know an example of one person who came here as a teacher with his wife. Fair enough, he came from the UK with his wife, and they now have two young children. His parents have retired here, but that's two pensioners we've got in. The lady's parents have retired here, and her aunt and uncle have retired here. And the parents of both parties have several houses which they have rented out. That is their main focus for investment for their retirement age. And it is absolutely crippling the opportunities for our young people. Something desperately has to be done.
I go back to Gibraltar every time we talk about this. In Gibraltar, young people get a 50% discount on new properties. Obviously, Gibraltar has a vested interest in keeping their young people on the rock because they want it to remain British. But they build new properties, you get a 50% discount if you're a young resident.
And I think they're introducing something similar in Wales, where they're having specialist properties built just for young people. But it isn't property we need. It's just an end to the buy-to-let market. And an 80% tax on it would absolutely kill it off in one go and give our young people the opportunity, which I think they really deserve. They're very hardworking. They're dedicated. They're not out drinking and smoking and gambling every weekend. They're actually very, very dedicated, hardworking young people, and I feel incredibly sorry for them and sympathise with their circumstances.
Well, obviously, as you say, the developers, the big companies, aren't doing anything illegal. It's, you know, that it's a capitalist system, and they're exploiting it in that way. So, do you think it's down to legislation to stop that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's entirely down to legislation. I won't call them buffoons, but I have done. But the people who are in Tynwald have the opportunity to sort this out, and they could legislate very, very quickly, but they choose not to. The question is, I would like to throw out to the public is, why do they choose not to help our young people? Because they're simply getting nowhere in life.
And I'll just go back to that. If it, you know, one life is too many.
It was incredibly hurtful, and the whole company, we're still in shock because this was an incredibly nice young man from Port Eyre, and his marriage had gone down, and he became in difficult circumstances living in a house which was an excruciatingly high rent for him. And when the company slowed down slightly and overtime was put back, which happens in life, he simply couldn't manage his finances. And it's just rolled on. And there are so many young people I work with who are in exactly the same situation. I just wonder what sort of society we are creating for the future, and in fact, what sort of society we have created now for young people on this island.
Okay, Neil, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
All right, and here's Pam on Man in Line. Hi, Pam.
Hi, hello. Good afternoon. What I would like to say, we're inviting so many thousand people here to live or you know, come here and work, but we haven't got the infrastructure. We've got one hospital. If now we're asked to go to Ramsey for accident and emergency, you can't get in a doctor. The roads are disgusting. The sewerage, they can't get that right. And now we've got a water ban. What's happening?
Well, we have to have a certain number of people, obviously, on the island. I mean, I don't know whether you remember, but it was, I'm trying to think, 62 years ago, the 1960 census, and the population of the Isle of Man went down to 40,000, just over 40,000, which was seen as, you know, it was seen as the beginning of the end for the Isle of Man. You remember those winter work schemes and half the population leaving to work in the winter off the Isle of Man. So we have to have a certain level of prosperity, don't we, though, Pam?
Also, yes, we do, and I have nobody, I have no qualms about people coming here, but let's get our own infrastructure in. I'd like to agree with the man that was on just before me. He is right in what he's saying. Also, you're going on about gas prices, Hartford Homes, Dandara, Douglas Corporation. They're all putting gas boilers in their houses. All these builders and Douglas Corporation, which I live in Douglas, why put these gas boilers in if they're too dear?
Okay. All right, Pam, thanks for calling.
Right. Bye, love.
Cheers now. Have a good weekend. Brian's on now. Hi, Brian.
Hiya. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Brian.
Oh, I'd just like to respond to the previous caller that wanted 80% taxation on rental property. As you probably know, that's the market that I'm in. I've got several rented properties, and if anybody wants to phone 451-357, they're very welcome to come with me this afternoon and help me clean the toilets and the mess in the two flats that I've got empty at the minute, and I'm certainly not making a fortune out of it. If you put an 80% tax and you drive the rental market underground overnight, what are you going to do to house 25% of the population who've got nowhere to live? You know, as it stands, 25% of the population of the Isle of Man live in rented accommodation. So let's not get rid of it. We've already got a problem. Because of the Landlords Act that's coming in, which is draconian in the extreme, is driving so many people to a point where they're selling their rented property. They're sick of it. You can't get people out. I'd be happy to take £10,000 cash for the outstanding 100,000 that I've had over the years of non-rent paid. We're reducing the number of rentable property, and we've got a crisis on our hands now because there isn't enough property out there to rent. And when you start putting restrictions, regulations, stipulations, like having to do the electrical tests every year, all has to be paid for and all goes on the rent. I mean, I have great sympathy for anybody that's trying to get on the property ladder. People had sympathy for me when I started out because it was crippling then. But the problem is we're allowing our young people to start off in a negative equity situation. They've all got to have the holiday, the car, the phone. And when they come to buy their house, they haven't got savings, they've got debts. If I'd have gone into the bank at the age of 25 to borrow money for a telephone, they'd have laughed me out of the room.
Do you think there's a proportion of young people who are financially illiterate, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the whole population, I just despair when I listen to your program, because this island is absolutely filled with nutcases. If you wanted to make houses cheaper for young people, and you could do it at the shake of a magic wand today, what are you going to do for the young people that managed to buy a house yesterday and you've just put them into negative equity? We've got a government, a succession of governments, that have turned this island into a political joke. Everything you touch, the hospital has more pen pushers and nobody at the coal face. We've got 3-year waiting lists for cataract operations. We've got an absolute mess with the buses. The promenade and Dalgey DOT are a mess. Somebody's going to have to get a grip on this and pull it back in line. Now, let's have a look at the politicians that we've got. It's the people on this island that voted them in. I mean, for God's sake, a former chief minister, Howard Quayle, was in charge of the hospital for years. And then it was David Ashford who was in charge of the hospital. I've got a complaint I'm about to write to the complaints department about the complaints department. They were supposed to phone me back 2 months ago. They turned a woman out with a condition before TT Week, in my opinion, because they wanted the bed. And the following morning, she collapsed. She was rushed into hospital. They turned her out again, and she collapsed the following day and had to go back in again. Well, that's appalling. If you haven't found out what's wrong with the person, don't send them home, especially if they're in their 90s.
Okay. All right. Brian, we appreciate that. We've got to move on. We're nearly out of time, but thanks for calling today.
Okay. Cheers.
Thanks Bye. For being with us. It's 11 minutes before one on Man in Line.
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture with a wide range of manager specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one roof at the B&B Furniture 3-story showroom in Snugborough.
ShopRite. Shopping that's better all round. Shopping that costs less before you even start. Less travel, fuel and time. Because our stores are local to you. Prices? ShopRite has low prices as well as price matching. And switch and save is something else. Sainsbury's own brand. Hundreds of items you buy every day. Famous Sainsbury's quality assured, adding up to pounds less at the checkout. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
These days, we know you can run your business from anywhere, and virtual meetings are fine, but there are times when you need to talk to someone face-to-face, especially when it comes to accountancy services. We also know that the Manx Mile is actually 3 normal miles, and if you live in the north, a trip down south can take all day. So now, Shim & Wilson has opened a satellite office in Ramsey for the convenience of clients in the north of the island. To arrange an appointment in Douglas or Ramsey, contact us online or call Shim & Wilson on 627744.
It's Nobles Park Fun Day! Bring the family for a fabulous free day out at Nobles Park. Saturday, August the 6th from noon till 4. Free entertainment, free bouncy castle rides, free entry to the family races too. Plus charity and car boot stalls, food, drink and much more. Nobles Park Fun Day from Douglas Borough Council. Search online and Facebook for details. Sponsored by the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Come and join the fun day!
Oh, I just hate being without you.
The Sunday Chill Out, Chris Pearson.
season.
Summer 2022 chill, even when the weather doesn't want to join the party. The Sunday Chill Out brings the Ibiza beach vibes to you between 7 and 9 every Sunday evening. Get in touch by emailing chill@manxradio.com with your chilled out tune choice or a suggestion for our 8:30 Sunday Slammer.
Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
8 minutes to one. That incident at Jerby Industrial Estate is involving acetylene cylinders, and the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service will be in attendance at Jerby Industrial Estate for a number of years. So if you were heading that way, I'd give it a swerve. There's a large number of resources at the incident, and they're trying to bring it to a conclusion. So do avoid the Jerby Industrial Estate area while that incident is ongoing. Andy, this is Mark in Peel, who said, we've had our green grant survey and solar panels have been recommended, but the government scheme has said grants for solar panels are on hold. What is the point of the scheme? This is a point brought up with Daphne Kane, chair of the Climate Change Transformation. There are all sorts of initiative, there are all sorts of warm words, but it just doesn't seem to happen. It doesn't seem swift. And everybody looks painfully at everybody else and said, well, they're in charge of that. It's not me. Two of our three children have left the island and are living in the UK with their families. I consider that to be a 33% success rate. The island, in my opinion, is dying where this is concerned. Well, that certainly that problems that Neil articulated with young people feeling despair, desperation, really, over not being able to get on the property ladder. A message in to Man in Line that says, who's the main person of the Green Party? Well, the boss is Andrew Langan-Newton. He's been on Man in Line in the past couple of months, and obviously we'll be doing that. He'll be on in the near future as we seek to negotiate to get our way through all this. You mention into tapping our own source of gas, says Texas 607. I suggest we start at Bucks Road, because the governments have delivered nothing but hot air. It's not flammable, though. That's the problem, Jane. Thanks for getting in touch, Jane. Have a good weekend. A ton of messages in today, and I'll try and get through the most of them. Andy said, I agree 110% with Neil. Really, the MHKs have got to get a handle on this. The G20 have probably engineered this cost of living crisis. The G20, this is the group of rich industrialised countries, the G20, don't want people taking to the streets about tax rises. So instead they manipulate the energy market, which impacts everyone and everything, but brings in extra VAT, fuel duty, and company profits tax. I think the Isle of Man government should be paying out of some of the extra takings, says G. And another message in, talking about the government are going to go down in the history of letting down a younger generation, be it jobs, housing market, finally leisure. A year in now, it's become obvious. Nobody in Tynwald is prepared to put their head above the parapet, says Paul. I agree with your caller, says Jude, on the housing crisis, so I'm glad he's come on air to talk about it. We need to ring fence affordable housing, so it can't be bought to let. And also, why don't we just go radical? 40% affordable housing, 4 out of 10 on new developments. It's happening in other places across the water, so why not the Isle of Man to look after our own population? And a message in just saying, yes, Dr. Allenson offered incentives for essential workers to come from across. Adds up to what? 30-odd thousand pounds in the end. Why can't that be used for our young people on the Isle of Man? Manx Rob says, Andy, the solution, I've got the solution, and the solution is self-build. A self-build cooperative. You make it easier for young people to get on the property ladder. They will stay on the Isle of Man. And John said, I agree with Neil. Make buy-to-let less attractive and your property crisis will disappear. Let me just echo what Brian said earlier on, though. If you make it easy, a lot easier for young people today, what do you say to the young people 6 months ago who struggled and struggled and struggled? I suppose the line's got to be drawn somewhere. I wonder whether you'd be content drawing that line. That's it for Man in Line. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing all this week. We're back on Monday with another Open Line. Have a great weekend.
W. I.